Hello and welcome to the Red Leaf Card, your home for Canadian soccer news and views. My name is Jacob. Today we'll be talking about the Victoria Highlanders, of their financial problem, and also we'll be talking about the commissioner of what he said, and a sneak preview of York United versus Forge FC at their home match, which will be soon. But first, here's your fixtures rundown. In the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, so Columbus Crew defeated Tigres in the PKs. Inter Miami lost to Club de Foot Monterrey 5-2 in aggregate. Herediano lost to Pachuca 7-1 in aggregate. New England Revolution lost to Club America 5-2 in aggregate. And now, in Major League Soccer, Toronto FC lost to Charlotte FC 3-2. Club de Foot Montreal won that match 2-1. Montreal to FC Cincinnati. And Vancouver Whitecaps lost to LA Galaxy 1-3. And to talk about this is a familiar face, Thomas Hewitt from the Canadian Soccer Daily. Nice to having you back.
Yeah, it's nice to be here.
A lot of exciting for the new season. It's the sixth season of the Canadian Premier League, and a great matchup for day one, which we've seen a lot of good matches. Forge FC 2-1 Calgary FC, which Forge FC won. Atletico Ottawa defeated York United 2-1. Pacific FC defeated Halifax Wanderers 1-0. And a great match, which was yesterday in Sunday, Vancouver FC defeated Valor FC 4-1. Which was the best matchup out there, would you think?
I think that it probably has to go to Forge versus Cavalry. It was most definitely it had all the same kind of traits as the final last year, which was amazing to see Cavalry go up by a goal, then Forge just storm back the other way, get a couple right in front of the Barton Battalion, which was awesome. Some of the photos of the Borges and Batty Bonga celebrating were great. But I think it really showed who Forge is in terms of, even without a guy like Tristan Henry, even without a guy like Ruben Spasius, or someone who helped them a lot last year, Mandrakar James, they're the same team. They're still solid. They're just as good as last year. A healthy Tristan Borges really helped. He was slotted in midfield, which was very great to see. I think that it's been too long since he had that role, and it's good because it also makes it possible to fit Chouinard into that team at some point. I can't quite remember if he was in the 11 for Forge that day. But back and forth, obviously Cavalry had some great chances too, capitalizing off the set piece with a very nice headed goal by Sergio Camargo. That rivalry, it traditionally delivers, and it delivered again. That was a pretty awesome game. But across the board, great stuff. We really kind of saw right off the bat who might be the real deal this season.
Yeah, it was a great matchup. I got to see that match. Even they were giving out the replica medals that Forge FC won for the North Star Cup. And I did love that match. And I was always thinking about which was the most important match for match day one. Everyone always thinking about Atletico Ottawa versus York United because they think it was a super team to watch. But now you're thinking there's another game that would be more into. It's the regular season champs and the North Star Cup champs. And can't just sleep on that match. And if you look at the attendees that went, that match went more. 7,000 fans went to that match. And you look at Atletico Ottawa, there was 4,000 fans that went to it, even despite the weather that was at Ottawa. And what?
Yeah.
And I look at, now you're looking at Atletico Ottawa. We're going to be talking about Atletico Ottawa and York United. What do you think about that match since you went there?
You know, I thought that it was an interesting one, you know, because Atletico, as you say, the super team, a lot of excitement to see them. Obviously, with the amount of ball-playing players on this team, it's something I'm going to keep saying. You know, they did kind of show how they can coexist on that team in the first game, but until they keep doing it, I'm going to keep saying it. With all the amount of ball-playing players in that team, with the amount of guys that kind of need the ball to operate to get the best out of them, some people are going to fall out of favor. Some people might be, or some of their players might be a little bit upset that they're not necessarily having the role like they did last year or the year before. Whether they were on Ottawa in the past or are just coming in this season. And then out of the blue, York kind of really quieted them a bit. You know, York was very strong in possession. The midfield was actually quite strong. Prem Sumaro was doing really well, kind of locking up Manny Aparicio. He didn't have much of the ball for the first half. And York was playing the long ball out of the back, and it worked really well. Brian Wright was quite impressive, I thought. He was kind of leading the line. He was getting played through over the top by Noah Batney a lot, and Orlando Botello, who Orlando Botello, I think, had a better game than his counterpart, his Rydos U23 counterpart, Josue Martinez. I thought Martinez maybe didn't have the effect on the game that Martin Nash was quite looking for, but Botello was pretty effective at left back. He was kind of switching with Max Ferrari, switching the side that they're on. So Botello got some looks trying to defend Matteo Di Brienne and Balu Tabla, but also Chris Twardek on the other side. And I thought he was pretty solid. But, you know, when York, when you miss the chances that York had, like early on, it's beautiful sequence. Brian Wright just plays through Max Ferrari, who's in the middle, which is a bit weird, but I do like how fluid the positions are and how one player can kind of just step into one spot and one guy can still still have a role and still do well. Like Max Ferrari just did that there in that couple seconds at striker. He squares it for Austin Ricci, but Ricci he takes first time and he missed by a considerable amount too, which was definitely not great, but you know, he it's the first game of the season, so he gets a little less I don't know how you say it, but he's a little less blame for that maybe. But then some of the other times in the match where he had perfect opportunity to score the ball for Brian Wright and didn't, took it himself. Nathan Ingham made a save that was on they were in alone on goal, the two of them, Rishi and Wright. And overall, I think that is a good connection for York to have. If both of them are able to connect more and, you know, Rishi trust Wright a bit more, then that would be great. And obviously a Batney at the back post in the second half, and he just misses the header like completely, which wasn't great. But Ottawa, yeah, flex their muscles. Great comeback, spirited comeback. You could tell that as soon as they got that set piece from Ollie Bassett, which resulted in Manny Aparicio's goal after a goal line clearance by Thomas Vincenzini, that they were just on the front foot. They were just oozing with confidence. Chris Twardek said afterward that it's just a really healthy like locker room environment, which, you know, one game in, obviously you got to take that with a grain of salt. Anything can change over the season. but it does seem that they're having a lot of fun playing together, and they're all kind of enjoying it.
Yeah, hats to Atletico Ottawa. But when I think about Atletico Ottawa, the biggest signings, they always show Amir Didic, Manny Aparicio, Balu Tabla, all those big name players. But to Atletico Ottawa fans, are they really underplaying Chris Tuardek in this? Oh, like underrated for this team?
Yeah, I think he is going to be a bit of an unsung hero. You can tell he plays with a lot of passion. He attacks the ball and attacks the box like few others did on Ottawa. And the crazy part is he can do it all by himself. You know, he was playing as a right back, but oftentimes looked as though he was a right winger. And because Abu Sissoko is a bit more of a midfielder, he moves inside a little more. And then Tuardek basically is free reign to go all the way and be a right winger. So I do think that Tuardek has a lot of versatility. He does leave a bit to be desired on defense, in my opinion. I just think that York did say, Martin Ash did say, you know, they were trying to go down the wings a lot during that match because they saw the weaknesses there. They saw Debrian, obviously, you know, great player. Especially on defense too. He's just as good on defense as he is on offense. But, you know, he does have those offensive instincts. So maybe there's a target. Chris Tuardek isn't typically a right back. So they went after that. And if he can just kind of tighten up at the back a little more, I definitely think that he might be the real unsung hero, potentially even, you know, the best player in Ottawa this season. He's from the area. He's from Kinburn, and that knee slide on the turf was pretty crazy. So if he keeps that spirit up, I think he definitely is going to be talked about as one of the best players in Ottawa.
Yeah. Now the coast to coast match, Halifax Wanderers and Pacific FC. What do you think about this one? That for their first match.
Well, it's Pacific comes away with all 3 points, but I still think it's a bit of a mixed bag for them, because if you score the one goal and it's from a penalty, I think you can only kind of take that win, you know, again, you know, take it with a little grain of salt, because it was a penalty, obviously, and the way they got that penalty was just kind of playing a long ball for Rion Moore. Well, I'm not sure if it was a long ball, but it was just a through ball. It just broke Halifax's defense. Dan Nimick's not able to get there. Julian Dunn has to come in from the left. He makes tackle. It's not timed right, which, you know, again, some rust in the first game of the season. And it correctly called for a penalty. Salouf just smashes it home. But Halifax's backline looked really solid throughout that whole game. There were few threatening chances on Yann Filion in net, and at the other end, Emil Gazdov had to make some pretty nice saves. He was named to the team of the week just today in the CPL for good reason. Halifax was really pouring on the pressure, and I'm still not convinced with Pacific. I just still think that they are missing something. And maybe it's because Adonijah Reed and Josh Hurd were both on the bench, which is really weird considering that Josh Hurd is their captain still. There's no evidence to suggest that James Merriman has removed him from the captaincy. Andre Tierkovenu also started on the bench. So when those three are put into the team as starters, I think we might see a bit of a better Pacific, maybe the real Pacific. I was still impressed by, you know, an Ali Endom. I thought he was quite good. Meir Giguère was really good, actually, at center back. Kind of stopped Christian Valeski and Ryan Telfer shouldering a lot of that defensive work. You know, in midfield, they were pretty good, but Halifax still was able to create chances with relative ease. And I do think that Halifax, with their back three, a system that Patrice Geiser talks about, he's kind of borrowing from Xabi Alonso at Bayer Leverkusen. I do think that Halifax can do damage, but Pacific, you know, they're going to need to not just string together a few wins now, but in the second half of the season, because that's when they traditionally struggle, to kind of really make me think that they're a serious contender this year.
Yeah, like said it all, like all these three teams that we've mentioned, Forge FC, Calgary FC, really good matchups, Atletico Ottawa and York United. Both of them are doing really well. York United looks like the biggest team to pressure them. And Pacific FC, Halifax Wanderers, balanced team, but try to find what they are. And final one, Vancouver FC and Valor FC. Valor FC starts with the first goal, and the rest of it goes to Vancouver FC scoring four goals. What do you think about that match?
Yeah, I mean, Vancouver, I really couldn't praise them enough. I thought that was an amazing showing. And, you know, Valor going up, I thought it was understandable. You know, Temi Antonoglu was left with a bit of space and just a world-class cross. I think we can all agree that might be the prettiest goal of the weekend just for the assist alone from Antonoglu, who formerly is of Toronto FC. Vancouver just picked them apart, and although Valor received a red card, which honestly didn't really look like a red card, it was a simulation, and that's always a tricky one. I don't think it really was simulation in this instance, but you know, either way, at the time, I think they were already down 3-1. The game was pretty much gone. Vancouver, despite I thought that maybe if they could create chances in a couple more ways, I would be a little bit more high on them. But still, four goals, you can't complain. It is against Valor, so you know that does mean, and it is still opening weekend, obviously. So that does there's a lot of soccer to be played still. But so far, just so good for Vancouver. That Paris Street goal, amazing. Some of their hometown players, they really look like they're having fun playing soccer, which at the end of the day, if you're having fun playing, that's one of the best paths to wins. So great for Vancouver.
And what was your thoughts on Hercules the Eagle on the opening ceremony?
That might have been my favorite part of opening weekend. I won't lie, you know, they had the Volkswagen tiny car like delivering the ball in Ottawa, which was epic. I love seeing that. That used to be the best pre-match thing in the CPL. But I think having a literal eagle fly in around the stadium to deliver the coin is way cooler. Callum Irving, personally, I would not do that if I was in Callum Irving's shoes. You know, he's the goalie. He's got precious hands. But he went for it with the little glove, and the eagle came. And yeah, that was awesome. And with the TIFO too, perfect pre-match stuff for Vancouver. I can only imagine that when Vancouver was down 1-0, they kind of thought of all that. Like, we have an eagle. We have like some really passionate fans today. We cannot let this win or let this game escape us.
Yeah, and Valor responded about on social media that, and we need to maybe bring in a lion.
Yeah, that might be a bit more difficult considering the conditions in Winnipeg, but if they do, you know, I think of them in higher regard. I've still got them for wooden spoon, but if they bring in a lion, that changes everything for me.
Well, too much for that. And I always think about hey, York United, you have a raccoon every single time wandering exactly around the seats. Maybe bring exactly that.
Yeah, I don't know how the raccoon, I'm trying to think of how the raccoon might like deliver a coin, or maybe it like goes through a trash can and finds a coin in there or something. But still, yeah, York's got to do something with the mascot. I think there has been a bit of a void since Yorkie left/ was killed
or retired.
Yeah, he had enough.
I've heard Adam Jenkins always say, bring in a raccoon as a mascot for the new replacement. I always agree with Adam Jenkins with that. Bring in new design of a mascot and have it as a raccoon.
Exactly. I mean, it's right there. Like, it's right there. If they have a live raccoon in the stadium, I'm sure they can make a fake raccoon. I mean, Ottawa has a dinosaur, which only half makes sense because of, like, the fan traditions. So, you know, York, it's time. Maybe got to elevate their mascot game there.
Yeah. And if I was bringing, for example, hey, Halifax Wanderers, for their pregame ceremony, hey, they have a dog as their mascot also.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking maybe they got to do something with a boat there, but I don't know how you would do that because it's, you know, soccer and not water polo.
Yeah. Or even Calgary FC for their home match, bring in a horse.
Exactly. That would be a good one. That's a very realistic one, too.
Yeah. But Forge FC, kind of fictional.
Yeah, the dragon, I think.
Yeah. So, not to go for that, since during the time the game was not even starting, Commissioner Mark Noonan, my bad, not David Clanagan, he's still going for his team in Windsor, but Mark Noonan has made some news about stuff about expansion teams, and he said he's delaying expansion teams on 2025. What's your thoughts on this one? He's also said other things about it, so
yeah. I mean, to start with the expansion, I think I did think that when he first said it, 2025, especially two teams in 2025, I thought that was a little ambitious. I just thought, considering the patterns that we've seen in the struggles to get more teams in the CPL, you know, with infrastructure, I thought 2025, saying that in 2023 is a little late to say that, I feel. And you know, when I was talking with him, guess what it was? It was infrastructure, which is still the problem. And although, you know, not in the same way you might think, because previously it was, you know, the building hurdles, which still exist. Building soccer-specific stadiums is still very difficult in this country because, you know, people still haven't seen, or maybe have seen but don't understand, the benefits of a soccer specific stadium, especially in the Canada of today, but that's a whole other conversation. But he's saying that, you know, they want soccer specific stadiums. They're not going to settle for football stadiums with stitched in turf or stitched in football lines, and you know, if it was a football stadium, they would want them, you know, at like York Lions Stadium, Tim Hortons Field, IG Field, or Princess Auto Stadium in Winnipeg, as it's called now, to have the paint, because, you know, which is, on one hand, you know, you could say, well, why not? I mean, if there's not too much of a TV audience, then there's nothing to lose. But I still agree with him on this, because if you do want to seem professional, you can't be having those football lines on there. It really detracts from the game. And I am glad that he's kind of making that stance and saying it early. Now, you bring up David Clanagan and his Windsor proposal. I think it's a very interesting thing to consider. I think Windsor might be a much more realistic city for the league than Quebec City, and people are not going to necessarily like that just because of the size of the market that Quebec City is. But if you look at Windsor, you have, you know, as you say, David Clanagan, those connections to the league, you have a stadium proposal, and Windsor is much more likely to build a stadium than Quebec City because Windsor doesn't have any other pro sports teams, right? And I know Quebec City doesn't either, but it is still, you know, a bit more of a place that can make money in other ways than sports. And I'm not saying Windsor can't do that. It can if it tried, but I still think that might help, you know, their economy more than, you know, than what Quebec City can do with all, you know, the Winterfest and everything they do there. So Windsor, I think, might be one to consider. 2026 expansion still on the table. It would be great time, you know, at the same time as the World Cup, having expansion there in the CPL would be absolutely fantastic. I think it would be the right move. It would definitely be the right move. Just before the World Cup, I think is the most ideal time. Although, you know, he's anticipating a post World Cup boom, but he is still adamant that they're not waiting for 2026. They're not going to wait until Canada has the World Cup in their backyard and finally kind of appreciate soccer on a similar scale as, you know, like hockey. You know, 2025 expansion, it's the way that he said it to me, it does still seem possible, but it's definitely on hold for now, especially compared to, you know, last October. There are still around 15, maybe a little less or a little more NDAs that have interest in the league. He told me that a couple left, but also a couple came in. So that's, you know, promising in its own right. And you do hope that the league expands sooner rather than later. But for now, it probably is the right decision to not move into football stadiums.
Yeah, and also, like, which city is a good market? And I already heard about the, in Newfoundland and Labrador, the St. John's Growlers.
Mm-hmm.
That they used to have a basketball team. Now they've been news about the hockey team that they're no longer. And those were the owners that were thinking of in the future to have a soccer team in that city.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's died down. Now they've already heard it was in it. There's a team that's going to be in the Quebec that's going to have the right for the hockey team. And now you and all the other expansion teams, there's been still Saskatchewan that they were supposed to have one in Saskatoon for a specific stadium. That didn't work. And still Regina, they could have started in Regina and decided make a specific stadium in Saskatoon after that.
Yeah, and like they had all the renders and everything, and I think the big problem is like let's not kid around here. It's difficult to build in Canada anything, let alone a soccer stadium, right? So it's not as so, you know, they've got a lot of NDAs who are, and they're working with them. They're exploring different potential communities, different owners of clubs, all of that. But it's really about just getting things to move a little faster. People are interested, but the reason why these NDAs are leaving, you know, they all see potential for soccer in Canada, but it's so difficult to get something off the ground here. And that's the main problem that the CPL is facing now with potential expansion. It's just once they get it off the ground, it'll probably go relatively quick. But until they're able to do that on a more consistent basis, it doesn't really seem like it's going to be happening.
Yeah, even first goals were to try to make it in Quebec City, Edmonton. We've already seen Edmonton failed, and mm-hmm. Now it's still, where does Quebec City get it? There's already been a source that there was two groups that were interested in the Laval University in Quebec mm-hmm. City, and it does question a lot when it's going to be Quebec City, when is it going to happen? It's going to be a long time at this point. Even like, for example, the eight teams that there has already been struggles of owner, the whole ownership. Like you're seeing Valor FC, they just posted the financial issues that they're always losing $1.2 million every season. And that's a big problem right now for Valor FC. And they've also said that to have the financial balance, they would have to average like 5,000 fans per game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at now York United with a new ownership, the Pascal brothers, really good ownership. Mm-hmm. And it just questions for York United, is there going to be a specific stadium for them? And that's going to be a hard one.
Yeah, I mean, I think first, maybe before expansion, you've got to make sure that the existing teams in the league are doing fine, you know, that the league is healthy now before, you know, maybe jeopardizing things by adding an expansion team. And, you know, Valor is a place that you might be a bit concerned about if you're Mark Noonan, because at the end of the day, the owners, which are the same owners as the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, they don't show as much interest in Valor. You know, case in point being they renovate the turf at Princess Auto Stadium in time for June, which means Valor has to spend the first 2 months of the season on the road while the turf is ready, just in time for the Winnipeg Blue Bomber season starting again and the CFL starting again in June. So York getting that, you know, to new owners was a huge victory for the league, because it meant that they could focus on other things. York having a team in Toronto is still so essential to the league. And you know, that it was a huge victory for them when they got it. And you hope that not another existing team goes up for sale. But if it does, then you've just got to sort that out before expansion. That has to be the priority, in my opinion. Got to make sure that the teams in the league are healthy before you even think about adding more.
Yeah, and now you're having one team that's thriving, and they're getting a specific stadium, which is going to be at the Wanderers grounds. They're improving. And one team denied that they're actually selling the team, and it was Pacific FC. There was sources that, well, they're just trying to find new ownership, but the owners of Pacific FC denied the claims.
Yeah, Pacific, I thought that was a little strange, just because it is a successful team. They have a real platform and fan base on Vancouver Island. If I'm 6-5 Sports and Entertainment, even if I know that I have Vancouver FC also under, you know, the ownership, Pacific still is in probably a better place in terms of just the brand that they've built compared to Vancouver FC, who still have kind of struggled to lock down a place in the, you know, busy Vancouver sports market. Pacific, you know, I can't see them being up for sale soon. You know, the city of Langford wants to keep them, but you know, if I was speculating, seeing that Pacific signed only a 1-year deal to stay in Langford at the Starlight Stadium, even though the city of Langford wanted more, and to the best of everyone's knowledge, still, you know, wants Pacific to be there longer, I would, you know, connecting the dots, maybe they're trying to build this permanent stadium for them. And well, Starlight Stadium is permanent, but maybe they're trying to build a stadium in Victoria, which has always kind of been something that that is, you know, been a possibility for them. They are in Vancouver Island after all. Langford it's not far, but it's not too close to Victoria, to the main part of Victoria where most Vancouver Island's population is. So maybe a move there would help them. You know, that's purely speculation, but you have to wonder just with what's happening with Pacific right now in their stadium situation at Starlet Stadium in Langford, that, you know, maybe there's something bigger at play here.
Yeah, and you mentioned Victoria. Mm-hmm. There's a League One BC team that made it to the Canadian Championship and won the regular season for League One BC. It's the Victoria Highlanders. Just announced they will not be participating in the Canadian Championship and the next season for League One BC.
Yeah, it's an awful loss for Canadian soccer, not least because, you know, they made it to the Canadian Championship and it has a kind of an interesting team, a bit of a wildcard team, and seeing how TSS Rovers did last year, and it does seem like TSS Rovers will be in the Canadian Championship again. That's just pretty much, I think, they're the favorites to represent League One, to represent League One BC. But it's always sad when these clubs go down, and based on the reporting that's been done by Ben Steiner, and other outlets, he's told me other people have told me too, that this is basically a CSB thing. CSB took control of League One BC last year, and that just seems to be the problem in this case. Now, we can't forget League One BC is adding another team for this season. Burnaby is the place that it's going to be. So, you know, one step forward, one step back, I guess. Losing the Victoria team is just, it is bad, though. They still have a team on Vancouver Island in Nanaimo, but obviously losing Victoria is a big blow. And if it is a CSB problem, you just hope that these things get resolved, because for soccer to be a healthy ecosystem in Canada, the grassroots have to be thriving, you know, and that's there. If teams have to fold or don't have the budget to field teams in League One BC, even having the Canadian Championship, which is for those League One teams, that's a pretty illustrious thing to have. It is a little bit concerning, but, you know, I'm sure we'll find out more details soon enough.
Yeah, and still that Canadian Championship still didn't announce that TSS Rovers was going to be in the Canadian Championship. That's something to also figure out who's going to take that spot for League One BC. Or they're going to just leave that spot and Pacific FC just moves on to the next round.
Yeah, that would be, I think, worst case scenario for me. I think TSS Rovers do have the resources to go. And also, I mean, thinking about storylines, Pacific was the team that knocked them out last year after that incredible win over Valor. So it's it would be cool to see a rematch between League One and CPL, and Pacific kind of only scraped by them last year. I think TSS felt like there might have been a little bit of wrongdoing. So with that history, I think it would be cool to have a CPL versus League One rematch.
Yeah, I did see that the one that TSS Rovers were versing Pacific FC. A lot of questions in that match was it, a no goal for TSS Rovers? A lot.
Or there's, yeah, the thing I was talking about, like,
on the referees.
Yeah. So maybe it's a chance for TSS to go out and make things right if they are selected to represent League One BC, which I would imagine that they would be given their stature and status in Canadian soccer.
Yeah, but also that we hope even the first round of the Canadian Championship, there is going to be Valor FC versus Atletico Ottawa, and Simcoe County Rovers versus TFC. TFC is going to be the first time versing a League One Canada team.
I think first times that TFC has faced one, because Montreal played Vaughan last year, which I think was the first MLS versus League One game. Vaughn impressed in that match. Now, we've got to consider Vaughn. That team basically had a bunch of former CPL guys and, you know, briefly MLS guys, like early to mid 2010s MLS guys. So, you know, definitely a team that had a lot of more name value than Simcoe County, but Simcoe County is a good team. I mean, you can't sleep on them. Do I think TFC is going to lose them? No, I don't. I think even with the injuries kind of piling up for TFC, they're still the favorites. But Simcoe County is definitely the best of the bunch in League One. They're a pretty advanced team, and they brought back pretty much the same group of guys. Orlandis, Benitez, what's his name? There's Ijah Halley is a great player that they have. Then there's Alejandro Portal. That's the only thing of. He's also very good. So, you know, they do have some elite ones best, and, you know, maybe they can put up a fight. I think, you know, keep a clean sheet for 30, 40 minutes, then that would be awesome. Score a goal, and it's definitely a victory, and that'd be huge for League One Canada as a whole.
Yeah, and also a lot of people were questioning about where's Daniel Henry of every single time. And Daniel Henry will be focusing on working with Simcoe County Rovers.
Mm-hmm.
And now another League One Canada team that I think some people might be sleeping on is St. Laurent versus Halifax Wanderers. Halifax Wanderers have struggled against League One Canada teams, but sneaked in to the next match. Last one almost beated Halifax Wanderers was Vaughan Azzurri.
Yeah, CSN Laurent is quite good. They put up some good fights against Forge and Ottawa, and Ligue 1 Quebec is a bit of a mystery. I will be honest, that league could do a better job of publicizing itself a little more, because there's still no way to watch games, even on YouTube, like the way League 1 Ontario and League 1 BC do it, which sucks. It's too bad, because, you know, obviously St. Laurent has quality if they're able to go toe-to-toe, even if it isn't preseason. Maybe I'm reading too much in preseason, but if they're able to go kind of toe-to-toe with, they beat Forge. That's quite something. AS Laval last year against Forge in the Canadian Championship were okay, maybe not as good as St. Laurent could be against Halifax this year. But yeah, you're definitely right. One to watch for the upset watch.
Yeah, also, when you're thinking about Atletico Ottawa versus St. Laurent in the preseason, St. Laurent scored a quick goal, but Atletico Ottawa just came back scoring more goals in that match.
Mm-hmm.
So St. Laurent looks like a decent team in the Canadian Championship, even including Simcoe County Rovers, that York United almost which squeezed in to win that match in the preseason 3-2. If I'm right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Simcoe County Rovers is kind of a League One Canada team to watch. And I think there's going to be more, and we've heard like 2,000 fans are going to be at that match. That Simcoe County Rovers just announced that they sold.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge as an advertiser for League One. I mean, you don't necessarily think of League One having the same fan culture just because it is semi-pro, but Simcoe County is very much a professionally run organization. And also, if Simcoe County, CS Saint Laurent, and TSS Rovers are the League One teams... Yeah, if it's announced, if those three are the League One representatives, I think it's the strongest crop of League One clubs in the Canadian Championship that there's ever been. And I just think that would be... I wouldn't confirm this. I wouldn't die on this hill, but I would think that one of them would win.
Yeah. As noticed, York United versus Forge FC is going to be your next match. And also going to be versing in Tim Hortons Field for the Canadian Championship. We're going to be previewing York United and Forge FC. So we think about this one. As noticed, same scores, but Forge FC wins, but York United lost on their first match. What do you think this matchup will be like?
Well, I mean, you know, it's the derby. It's always fun. I think that, well, I mean, it could go one of two ways. You know, Forge could, obviously in the late game, they were very good against Cavalry, but I do get the sense that Forge has the quality to get on the front foot a little earlier if it's against York. That's one way it could go. But the other way it could go is York gets a couple of the players back. They did have a lot of injuries for the Ottawa. We have to remember that Juan Cordova should be back. Matthew Baldissimo, there's a chance he could be back. There's, you know, Selanovic, Oswaldo Leon. Leon Selanovic seem to be maybe a bit more of a pressing matter than Cordova and Baldissimo. I don't know for sure, but just based on the types of injuries that they have, might be a bit more consequential. So if they've got some of those injured players back, and if they're able to play the same way they did against Ottawa, just maybe Richie doing just finishing those chances, then, you know, I'll tell you what, I think could be a draw, maybe even a win. York hasn't beaten Forge at home in a long time. I think they haven't since like April or May of 2022. So there's been a good three games against them at York Lion Stadium since that they just they could not put it together. And you know, it could go a couple ways. I do like this matchup though, and I do think that York is a little better than losing 2-1 to Ottawa. They definitely deserved points from that game.
Yeah. And it's a home game for their home opener. And do you think that we'll see more fans in this match?
Well, you know, there's always the Forge boost because typically a lot of Forge fans will come up from Hamilton to see the game, which is great. You know, just adds to the atmosphere. York's got like a $35,000 contest, so maybe that bumps up the number a little bit. But I do hope so. It's just best for the league, like for the team and the league, I'm messing up my words here. For York to have better numbers, it's a lot better for the team and the league. And you know, York has one of the worst home records. Yeah, won the worst home records last year, won the best away records last year. That's what got them in the playoffs. So maybe that swings it a little bit. But yeah, we'll have to see. I do hope that the numbers are a bit higher this season.
Yeah, and there's going to be a good 905 derby at York. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be glad to be part alongside with you with the media. Mm-hmm. Red Leaf card just been announced that they will be part with the press for York United. And that's full time of the Red Leaf card. I'm your host, Jacob, subbing out.